and piano lessons since I arrived, and it's really taking. They're doing very well. Visitors here with us, of course, Brother Moses with Rock of Ages. We're glad you and your wife are here with us here this evening, and good to see that. And of course, good to have Timothy back with us from the Navy. He's on his break, and we certainly appreciate his service. And I believe, Timothy, you head to Washington next week. Is that right? You're going to be on the USS Nimitz. That should be exciting. Warren's glad about that. I didn't hear a word you said, brother. Jonah chapter 1 this evening. Jonah chapter 1. Start in the first verse of the book of Jonah. We're going to read the whole chapter here. And it might even, probably one verse in the chapter 2 as well. Probably verse 4 of chapter 2, I think I'll go over. But Jonah chapter 1, let me start in the first verse. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil has come upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea was wroth and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Notice their fear is even increasing when that sea calms. That's interesting, isn't it? And offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. And here's this line is the crux of the message here. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Verse 4 of Jonah chapter 2 says this, Then said I to Jonah in the whale, I am cast out of thy sight. He's talking to the Lord. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I ask your blessing upon the service tonight, dear Lord. I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit. I pray that you'd give me the words to say, Lord. And And Lord, I pray that your word would have free course in the hearts of your people. Lord, please bless and work. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Lord, I love you. I pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this message is There's a Fish Coming. You know, in Nineveh, I preached a sermon on Jonah. Here is an entirely different point. It was dealing with the cost on the Christian if we're not giving the gospel out. And I was elaborate on the life of Jonah, the different attributes that we see in his life in chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. This message is we're going to concentrate more on the individual life of Jonah and what we see taking place in his life at this particular time when he was disobeying God. Nineveh, of course, the Lord had come to him. He was a prophet of the Lord, and the Lord had told him, here's your next assignment. This is the will of God for your life. I'm sending you to Nineveh. And, of course, he did not want to go to Nineveh for several different reasons, and I really talked about those in that sermon a few months back. Nineveh was a wicked city. They were the terrorists of their day. They would be very much the equivalent of ISIS in their day. Their deeds were horrific, their murders, and here's the Lord that is going to now send Jonah to go preach there. And Jonah was having none of it. He decided to flee from the presence of the Lord. So he takes off and he's going to go to Nineveh. And again, he rose to flee up to go to Tarshish, He goes down to Joppa, he gets on a boat, and he's trying to flee from the presence of the Lord. Very foolish thing to do right there. And so he's heading out. They get on the boat. Of course, the Lord had also prepared a storm. And we looked at that when I preached on Jonah last time. All the different things that the Lord had prepared in the life of Jonah to get his attention. The storm comes up and Jonah is sleeping in the boat. Even though the storms come up, the mariners realize that the danger that they're in with the level of this storm is this tropical storm comes up, this hurricane comes up, and they're all fearful for their life, and they see that Jonah is down there sleeping, and of course they wake him up, and he's being reproved by these men of this, by these mariners, when if he was in the will of God, he would be the one doing the reproving of the king of Nineveh. But instead, he is here getting reproved by some mariners in a boat. We also see here as this storm came up with it, of course, it certainly is the result of God's wrath, this storm, of God's, as well as his chastisement, that even on this boat, there's no more atheists on this boat. These are men ready to pray right now. These are men that are certainly ready to pray. We see in here, we see the vanity of riches. Whatever cargo they were carrying, which is going to be the source of their income, that was getting tossed overboard real quick. There was no hesitation. We're going to die, get rid of it. Again, they realize the vanity that is in riches. And so they're trying to figure out what's going on. They wake up Jonah. They're telling every man to try and figure out what's happening. Jonah's still not saying anything. Of course, the conviction is upon him when he sees this horrible storm that has arisen. He knows that this is God's chastisement on his life because he is running from the presence of the Lord. And finally, they cast the lots. It falls on Jonah. And they said, all right, tell us, who are you? Where are you from? What God do you serve? Let us know what's going on in your life. And then Jonah lets them know, I'm a Hebrew. I serve the true and living God, the one who made the sea and the dry land. And, of course, they're exceedingly afraid when they hear this, that he is talking about this God that he serves, that is the creator of all things. And they asked him, well, what do we need to do? What do we have to do here to end this? And Jonah was honest. Listen, the only thing way I think you're going to get any help out of this is if you throw me overboard. I think that's the only way this is going to end. I really appreciate actually the men here. They actually tried to row to the land. So before we go that route, let's try and get this boat to land before we throw this guy overboard, because certainly he's going to die when we do that. And of course, it was completely impossible. So they determined before everybody dies on the boat, they grab Jonah and they throw him off the boat. And then we get to that verse. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Of course, that great fish, the Lord refers to it, of course, as a whale in the New Testament, was falling right along with that boat. It was prepared for this mission. It was simply waiting for Jonah to be thrown overboard. He knew it was coming. Just wait. It's coming. Jonah was a prophet of the Lord. He was a servant of God, and he was running from the will of God. That's what he was doing. And tonight what I want us to look at here is I want you to understand this. It doesn't matter if you're a dad, if you're a mom, if you're a teenager. When you begin to run from the will of God for your life, there's a fish coming. God is preparing something to get your attention. There's a fish coming. It's right there. When you belong to the Lord and you are His, and you begin to run from the will of God for your life, there's a fish coming. The Lord knows exactly what to do to get our attention. What I want to look at tonight, first thing we're going to look at, is what events in Jonah's life preceded the fish, preceded this great fish that the Lord had prepared, this whale that He prepared that swallowed up Jonah. The first thing we see in the life of Jonah, of course, is disobedience to the Word of God. The Lord gave clear instruction. There was no doubt about it. Jonah, you're going to go cry against it. And we know really from the rebellion in his heart, his biggest concern wasn't his life when he went to Nineveh. Maybe he was afraid for his life. These were certainly wicked people. I think it would be nothing for them to kill Jonah. But that wasn't what he was concerned about. Really, to see how far and wicked he was, Jonah was in rebellion here, he didn't want the Lord to convert him. That's what he did. He didn't want the Lord to show mercy unto him. And he was worried if they really genuinely repented, the Lord would cease from destroying them. But anyhow, the word of the Lord was clear unto him. He knew what the will of God was, but he decided to be obedient and try and flee from the presence of the Lord. You see, the reality is Jonah heard it, but we're not to be simply hearers of the word. We are to be doers of the word of God. And as Christians, it's not out of God's anger at us that He does these things. It's out of still His compassion. You know, He chastises us because He loves us. And so when He is preparing that whale, you ought to be thankful. I mean, if the Lord, out of anger, He could have just smote Jonah dead right there. I mean, He could have done all kinds of things, but what He was doing was preparing stuff to get His attention. From the storm to the fish, and as you go on to the wind, to the gourd, He was constantly preparing things to kind of wake this guy up. And of course, running from the will of God always involves disobedience to God's Word. Not only do we need to be spoken to by God, but we need to have our ears open. Look at Isaiah chapter 50. Just one verse right here. Make sure it's the right one. I'll probably start in verse 4 for a little bit of context with this. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. It's a work that God desires to do in all of our heart, but we have to have our ears open to hear. In other words, it's not just being present when you're in the service. It's not just having the devotion time in the morning. It's actually listening. It's gaining the knowledge, being learned of the Lord, allowing Him to speak to your heart. When you begin to be disobedient, listen, please understand this, there's a fish coming. This message might be preventative for you right now. The Lord might know, listen, the fish is there. Maybe you're just at the stage of the storm in your life, and the Lord's trying to get your attention in the storm. Listen, there's a fish coming. There's a fish coming. He was disobedient to the Word of God, and then he starts running from the will of God. That's always a dangerous place to be, when you're running from the will of God in your life. When God has given you clear direction, and listen, we can excuse it all the time. We're great at times at even convincing ourselves that what we're doing really is the will of God. Really is. We can convince ourselves, we can manipulate, but yet we know how the Lord, the direction that He has given. And when you get to that place where you're running from the will of God, you're in a very dangerous place. You see, because it's in the will of God that we have the providence of God in our life. It's when you're there in the will of God. That's, you see, your providence, what's to take care of your life. If you are simply trusting in your own health, Listen, I'm strong. I'm a young man. I can take care of myself. I am trusting in my education. I am trusting in my family line. I am trusting in all these different things to try and take care of me. Listen, your health can change in a second. It can be over with. But there's providence in the will of God. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." It's when you're in the will of God and He is first in your life, that's when you can rest. That's when you can know, I have the providence of God in my life. I'll have His provision that is in my life. Not only is there providence in the will of God as we're serving Him, there's also peace in the will of God. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 26:3, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee because he trusteth in Thee." There really is peace in that. Yeah, you know, it really is. I think of the different times in my life where, there was a time when I was even running from the call on God in my life to preach. This is after I surrendered to it. And really, you are void of that peace that is there. Because you know, when you're Christian, you know the Holy Spirit the whole time He's on your heart, and you know that you're running from what He would have you to do. There's also protection. Look at 2 Kings chapter 6. There's protection in the will of God. 2 Kings chapter 6. I want to show you something here with Elisha. Second Kings chapter 6, starting there in verse 8. "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, In such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God," this would be Elisha, "sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved him there, and not once nor twice." The Lord was, greatly using Elijah here to protect Israel. "Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" He thinks we've got a spy in the midst, because the king of Israel knows his every movement. Verse 12, "And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan." He's at home. We know where he lives. The guy's not even hiding. He knows he has God's provision. He has God's peace. And we're going to see he has God's protection. "Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about," where Elisha is. "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do?" He's scared to death. The servant basically wakes up in the morning, and over the night, a portion of the Syrian army has come and is encamped around him. There's no escape. And he thinks, this is it. They've got us captured. We're going to be tortured. They're going to do all kinds of things to us. And he's, "Alas, master, what are we going to do?" And Elijah's response is just fantastic. Where am I at here? 15, thank you. Is that what you said? 15, is that where I'm at? 16. And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Now remember, so the servant here is going to do a quick math count. He's probably thinking that Elijah has been schooled in this, what do we call this nowadays, the new education system? Common Core, yes. Because the servant, he was raised on a BECA and ACE. But Elijah was clearly raised on Common Core. Because the servant goes, 1, 2. He looks outside and there's like 1,000 people around them outside. And so he thinks Elijah's having a bit of a math breakdown right now. Because clearly they have many more than the 2 that are sitting there in the house. And then Elijah does this prayer. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. Now notice, the only person whose eyes were open is the young man, not Elisha's. What the young man's getting ready to see, Elijah saw by faith. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open the eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So Elijah's all calm. The servant is panicking. He thinks his life is over. I could imagine different torture scenarios are going through his mind because he knows that the counsel that Elijah has been sending to the king of Israel, and he thought, this is it. We're outnumbered. And Elijah prays, Lord, I pray thee, open the eyes of the young man, of the servant that he may see. And behold, the Lord opened his eyes, and the mountain was full of horses and chariots round about Elisha. And he saw. The Lord sort of opened his eyes into that spiritual realm. The Lord, I mean, Elisha knew that protection was there. He had the reality down that nothing will happen to him that God doesn't allow. Why could he have such peace? How could he know that he had the protection there? Because he was in the middle of the will of God. That's right where he was. He had God's protection because of it. And if you read on, it really is, Elijah's whole attitude about this is amazing. Remember what he does. So Elijah, you know, basically has the Lord smite him with blindness, this army. And he leads them right to downtown Samaria. He takes a huge portion of the Syrian army and leads them right to downtown Samaria. And then Elijah prays, Lord, open their eyes back. They're open. We're in Samaria. The king of Israel's there. They've been captured. It's amazing to go with the message from this morning. The king of Israel had said this, should we smite him now? You know what he said? Feed him. Feed him. Give him some food. That's exactly what they did. But the man had God's protection because he was in the middle of the will of God. And Jonah knows it. When he woke up from that storm, he knows he's running from the will of God. He knows now he has to fear. He realizes, I have removed myself from the protection that I have when I was in the middle of the will of God. When you begin to step outside of that, again, you're removing yourself from that protection. There's providence in the will of God. There is peace in the will of God. And again, when you begin to run from the will of God, after that disobedience begins to take place in your life, and now you're running from the will of God, listen, there's a fish coming. It's coming. The idea is to repent before that thing arrives in your life. But the fish is coming. What else preceded the fish? We see, of course, disobedience to God's word was number one. Number two, he was running from the will of God. Number three, before the fish, God sends a storm. God sends a storm before the fish. Of course, when this storm comes up, I do find it interesting that Jonah is here asleep. He's sleeping in the boat. Everybody else is up and panicking. And isn't it amazing that those who are the most out of the will of God at times, sometimes are the last ones to kind of realize their ramifications of their actions. Everybody else around him can see it pretty clearly. But sometimes somebody has to grab you and say, wake up and look what's happening to your life. Satan rots you to sleep with some carnal security right in the middle of your storm. I'm here to tell you. There's a fish coming. There's a fish coming. You see it time and time again where families, from families that are falling apart to destruction on the road, and you want to yell out time and time again, listen, there's a fish coming. It's coming. Do not see the storm that is around you. There's a fish coming. But too often, again, it's like we close our attention off to it and we pretend that these circumstances don't exist, or we try and justify them with other excuses, and yet you know what is happening. See, the danger is when you still refuse to repent because the fish is coming. The storm itself, as we see here, has the power to crush whatever it is you're trusting in. Jonah, in this case, was trusting in that boat to get him away from the presence of the Lord. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to run from the presence of the Lord. And listen, I believe this is one of the reasons why we've seen Pastor Rocha brought up, where's all the young preachers at? Well, I agree with that. I realized that a few years ago when we went to, again, I mentioned this before, my daughter Rachel's graduation here, all those hundreds of homeschoolers out of Christian families. And what was the exact number? Was it two or three? Two. Surrendered to ministry. Two. Because they told what each one was going to do. They're going to go to this college and he's going to major in accounting. They're going to go to this college and or he's going to go to the military. You're going to do this. Two. We're giving ourselves. These are basically those coming out of some of our best Christian homes in the nation. You see, what's amazing is, you know, that's a whole other sermon. We get our eyes off what's really important. You know, we get this mentality. I remember I heard it up growing up all the time. I think one of my uncles, you see, I want my kids to have what I didn't have. I want them to get that good job. I don't want to have to work like I worked. What you want for your kids is the will of God. That's what you want. It's not a $200,000 a year paying job. If that's the will of God, fine. But what you want for your children is the will of God. God sends the storm. Again, many times though, we are simply asleep in the middle of it. We fail to see it while everybody else begins to notice it all around us. But the storm certainly has the power to crush whatever you're trusting in. The storm is there to get your attention. The storm is there to get your attention. You know, nobody was hurt yet. They knew by the power of the storm, the potential was there. The Lord's showing mercy. It's to get your attention. And before you know it, when the storm, what usually concludes the storm in your life, is you find yourself in the middle of the belly of a whale. That fish that God has prepared has arrived. The fish has arrived. That's not a place that you want to be. It certainly isn't. Remember, Jonah referred to himself as where? As in hell. It's never a place that you want to be. Now, how did Jonah get out of the fish's belly? How did he get out of that thing? Let's cover that a little bit. Maybe you're there. Maybe God's chastisement has been on your life. You've been running from the will of God. Well, what's great about this, Jonah was simply there 3 days and three nights. The Lord had mercy on him, and that thing spit him up on dry ground. So what did Jonah do to get out of the belly of the whale? Let's go to Jonah chapter 2 there. I've got to get back there myself. Jonah chapter 2. I want to show you some things that went through Jonah's process here. We're going to see with Jonah. I don't want to say, he did get right with the Lord in that he submitted to God's will for his life. The Lord had a lot of other things to do in the life of Jonah. All right, he still really wasn't right with God where he should be when he got spit out of the well. And I'm thankful for the Lord's mercy. All right. He didn't expect him to have everything perfect, and now the whale was going to do it. The Lord still had a lot of things to do in this man's life. But when he got to the point where Jonah said, I'm going to surrender, I'm going to do what's right here. And so anyhow, let's see what he did. Verse 7, when my soul fainted within me. Now here's key. I remembered the Lord. The first thing he did was he remembered God. What, did you say he completely forgot him? No, that's not what's going through his mind here. I mean, he knew when he woke up, the storm was there. You know, I am a Hebrew, I'm a prophet of God. I am running from him right now. No doubt the storm is here because of me. You've got to throw me overboard. But there are certain things as he was there, and maybe he thought the Lord was done with him, God, of his disobedience. But then he began to remember who the Lord was. I think he began to remember about the Lord's mercy towards the sinner. How no doubt he had witnessed, and maybe he remembered one of the very reasons we're going to see as you get into chapter 2 and 3 that he didn't want to go was because the Lord just might spare from destroying Nineveh. Maybe he began again to think of the Lord's mercy. Maybe he began to think of the Lord's love. of how much the Lord had done for him and used him in the past. Maybe he began to remember how near God has been to those who are in trouble. Has he seen it with his own nation? And there he is. And so he began to remember the Lord. And the next thing he did was pray. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. He began to pray. He began to pray. You know, many times what's sad is when we do begin to cry unto the Lord. Many times it's during our prosperity and we don't have all the problems that our prayer life is many times the weakest. But if we're only whispering a prayer during that time, see, the problem is you're going to be crying out to God during those rough times. In other words, don't wait when you need to cry out to the Lord. It should be our prayer time should be of heart. It should be genuine. It should be of faith. So after he remembers the Lord, he decides, I'm going to pray unto the Lord. And then he gives out a truth in verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. There's a lot here with that verse. He's learning that trusting or serving anything besides God is putting himself in danger. He's seeing the deception and the vanity of his own life. He realized that the course of his own actions, the danger that was putting him in. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. He was guilty of that himself. Verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Through this process, as he remembered the Lord, he begins to pray and seek God. He realizes his own error of his way. And he tells the Lord, I will pay my vows. I'm your prophet. I will do what you've asked me to do. He decided to repent and to do God's will. And it's at that point, and it's like he knew it. I don't know if the whale began to upchuck or what at that point, but you know, salvation is of the Lord. And then we see him in verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. He's out. And the Lord put him right back. All right, Jonah, let's go. You're back here now. Would have been a whole lot easier had he just trusted in the Lord. But again, his life was getting all found. There was a lot of problems already in his life that where even though he was a prophet of God, just because you have something in title certainly doesn't show where your heart really is. He had the title of a prophet of God. He had the calling of a prophet of God. But as we see in the Scriptures, his heart wasn't close to being right with the Lord. And so the Lord takes him through this process of the different things he had prepared to try and get Jonah to wake up to see where he is. But when he was willing to start recognizing his own sin and his own failures and this repenting of running from the will of God, the Lord did show the mercy that he needed and said, all right, let's do this. And the Lord has that whale vomit him up right on the dry ground. You know, there's other examples in the Bible where the Lord had prepared a type of fish for those who are running from the will of God. It's common. My guess is if there's anyone here, there's been a time in your life when you've ran from the will of God, the Lord's done just that. You know, I mentioned the time when I was running from the will of God, when the Lord, when I was no longer going to preach, I come with a nice, I was going to trust in those lying vanities. There's a lot. I wanted to go to finish my computer science degree. Had a nice job offer. I'm like, wow, this is great. And then my heart stopped for 90 seconds. That gets your attention a little bit. 21 years old. But I knew it. As soon as in that hospital bed, when that took place, the conviction set in about my call to preach. And at that very moment, I said, "That's fine, Lord, I'll preach. That's fine." You know, Lot had to learn that lesson the hard way as well. Lot had decided different things were taking his attention, things of this world, and he decided to take his family and head towards Sodom and Gomorrah because he made his decision purely based on carnal reasons instead of seeking the will of God. And we certainly see what happened to him. And of course, there are others in Scripture, and there's other testimonies that no doubt people could stand up right here and talk about a will that the Lord prepared for your life to try and get your attention. Listen to me, when you begin to be disobedient to God's Word, there's a fish coming. When you begin to run from the will of God, if you're His, if you're not His, you just got to repent and get saved. You know, you will not have God's chastisement upon your life. But if you're His because He loves you, He's going to chastise you and give you opportunity to repent and come back and to serve Him. But again, if you're disobedient, if you're running from the will of God, there's a fish coming. Maybe if it appears, there maybe you need to wake up and see that maybe the Lord has you in a storm right now. And you're trying to ignore that thing. Listen, there's a fish coming.